back into Earth's atmosphere. A well-known example happened during the last peak in the solar cycle, nearly a decade ago in 1979. In that year, Skylab fell back into the atmosphere, mostly disintegrating, but leaving a trail of debris over parts of Australia. What happens is this. During a maximum in sunspot and other solar activity, ultraviolet radiation causes Earth's atmosphere to expand to a greater than usual height. An orbiting satellite finds itself plowing through this expanded atmosphere. The drag on the satellite pulls it down to lower and lower orbits until finally it begins a fiery plunge back toward the Earth. The next solar maximum is predicted for around 1990, and there are several satellites possibly subject to its effect on Earth's atmosphere. One is the Long Duration Exposure Facility, used to study the effects of being in orbit on various materials. It's been stranded in orbit since the Challenger disaster. Now it's thought that it cannot be maintained in orbit much beyond 1990. It's hoped that it'll be retrieved soon after the shuttle begins flying again, possibly in mid-1989. For November the 5th, that's Stardate. And for the McDonald Observatory at the University of Texas, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
Daisy chains and grass, cuts
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
It's 11 minutes after 10 o'clock on this Saturday night, the fifth day of November 1988, and we are coming dangerously close to another election day, and that's pretty much going to be the topic of tonight's brain damage, as appropriate as that may be. Our phone lines will be opened up at 632-6901, area code 516. You can discuss your last minute feelings, however strong or weak they may be. And we have this revelation.
Hi, this is Kate Bush. You're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM Radio, Free Long Island, where you should be.
Did you know that Kate Bush is related to George Bush?
I will not agree to another debate. The answer is no. I am not going to have any more debates.
The way they sound, the way they phrase their sentences. I don't know, I see a definite harmony there. Something to think about, you know? If you like Kate Bush, maybe you'll see more of her with George Bush in the office. Who knows? 632-6901 is our phone number. Let's take a look at the news. Michael Dukakis declared today that he smells victory in the air. Don't know where he was. If he was around here, it wasn't victory. But irregardless, just 3 days before Election Day, the latest polls indicate George Bush continues to enjoy a comfortable lead in the presidential race. Legislation that would have limited advertising during children's TV shows has been pocket vetoed by President Reagan. The measure would also have required stations to provide informative programming for youngsters, but Reagan questioned its constitutionality. More tough talk is being heard from the Kremlin in connection with its presence of troops in Afghanistan after announcing a suspension of its troop withdrawal. The Soviets now say the pullout is being jeopardized by U.S. and Pakistani arms supplies to Afghan rebels. More than 100 arrests are reported in an anti-abortion demonstration in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Police say about 200 people picketed outside a woman's clinic, blocking its entrance. It's 13 degrees Celsius, and that turns out to be 55 Fahrenheit. Unfortunately, we have a new teletype outside, and it doesn't seem to want to send us our weather forecast anymore. We get weather from all over the country now, but we don't get weather for the area. So I just know it's raining, and it's supposed to stop sometime. 16 degrees Celsius, 61 Fahrenheit. What more can I say? Well, program is Brain Damage. We're up here till midnight talking about all kinds of political things. And let's lead off our night of political things with a gentleman named Will Durst. This was recorded on July 11th, 1988. Recorded live at a place called Stand Up New York.
So I'm going to miss Reagan, man. I am, but I'm a comedian. Reagan has done for political humorists what the microwave did for appliance stores. Dukakis, Bush. Oh, break out the notos. I mean, I always heard that the meek were going to inherit the earth, but this soon? Everything you wanted in a Reagan administration and less. George Bush, Reagan light. Pushing Bush is Reagan without the charm. That's going to be a tough sell, man. That's like calling the desert just like the beach without the water. All it's missing is the moisture. And who could he possibly pick as his VP to make him look presidential? Wally Cox is dead, man. Pee Wee Herman is a fictional character. You watch, he'll end up with Gene Kirkpatrick because the GOP figures there has to be at least one set of balls on the ticket. Did you read this the other day? Bush was courting the black vote. With what? Waddy Melon? He is the ultimate honky, man. If he were any whiter, he'd be translucent. I don't think Reagan is his role model. I think it's Thurston P. Howell III. He might be the first guy to start his inaugural address with the word loving. To him, the needy are corporate execs without summer homes in the Hamptons. The homeless dollar. And what was his Iran-Contra stance? He was a supportive team player who was in on everything, except when they decided stuff. Reagan's point man on Iran-Contra. Reagan's point man on the war on drugs. And he doesn't know when he knew that Noriega was dealing. The point is moot. Either he knew and he's a doofus, or he didn't know and he's a doofus. Either way, we don't need another Oval Office doofus. Now, let me get this straight. We sold arms to Iran and then gave military intelligence to both Iran and Iraq. Now, how did this work?
Here, put this gun in your pocket. He's got a gun in his pocket. He knows about the gun, man.
And isn't it ironic that Reagan's instituted a policy of zero tolerance after we put up with his bull for 7 years? To show you how much our administration knows about drugs, McFarland tried to OD on Valium. The yellow ones. The fives. You might as well try to OD in St. Joseph's Children's Hospital. No, you just gotta take enough, that's all. Oh, and then all roads led to Casey. Oh, what a surprise. He did it, he did it. No, the dead guy did it. Yeah. The only one come out of the smell like a rose was Nancy Reagan. She got Donald Reagan's head on a plate. Like Salome, it was biblical. Nancy, the enforcer. Nambo. Nambo. She got Ron to take a drug test. Dig that image. Hold Uncle Ron with his withered, palsied, arthritic grip trying to pee-pee straight into a test tube. Here's your told this.
Which one, Mr. President?
I'm going to miss Reagan. Most presidents are figureheads. Reagan's a hood ornament. He vetoed the Clean Water Bill. What was going through his tiny little mind? Clean water, huh? I don't know.
Ron, it's clean water.
I don't know.
How about non-poisonous air?
I'm not sure yet. I'll have Nancy sacrifice a goat and paw through the entrails. Summit? No summit. Summit? No summit. Reagan, no matter what you think of his policies, you gotta admire his ability not to get involved in them. On his 76th birthday, he actually said, "Well, that's only 24 in dog years." He said that. Out loud. Not only is it wrong. I mean, I'm no rocket scientist, but the last time I looked, 7 and not going to 76, 24 times. But then dig the image. I mean, every 24-year-old dog I've ever seen has been blind and drooling and lame. Does the term put to sleep have any meaning there? They don't make cycle 6. I'm not afraid he's going to push the button. I'm worried he's going to nod out and fall on it. You guys have been great. I've been Durst. Thanks a lot.
When Ron met Bush, he was a castaway with a 30-page typeset resume. He once said Reagan had a voodoo plan, but in his job interview, he was a different man.
No matter what I asked, George said to me,
"I want to be like you, Ron. I want to be just like you.
Should a cat have a ladle?
Like a silver spoon.
Should we pilot the jet?
Till it reaches the moon. When will I be president?
I don't know when. You're gonna have a good time then, George.
Gonna have a good time then."
"Well, okay, George, you can be my beep. We'll divide up the work so I can get some sleep. My turn when we got a summit to climb. Yours when it's Girl Scout cookie time."
"Gee, that sure sounds perfect to me. I'm gonna be like you, Ron. I'm gonna be just like you."
George did real well for the first 6 years. When times were good, he always led the cheers. Times turned bad, Georgie Bush submerged. Now a brand new George Bush has emerged.
"You sure goofed with that mess in Iran. But still, I wanna be like you, Ron. I kinda, sorta, distantly, remotely wanna be like you."
"Should Cap have a ladle?
Well, yes and no.
Should we pile up a debt?
Golly, I don't know.
When will you be president?
I don't know when.
You better toe the line till then, George.
I'm gonna take the fifth till then."
"I will not agree to another debate. The answer is no. I am not going to have any more debates. We don't need any more debates. I've spelled out my position. There will be no more debates."
"Madam Chairman, delegates to this convention, fellow citizens, America needs Barbara Bush as First Lady. A society is great because of promises made by its government, not because of progress made by its people. I wonder why on earth John Adams said, 'Facts are stubborn things.'"
I've spelled out my position.
"It is the American people who endured the great challenge of national calamity. So,
I will not agree to another debate.
America is working again. Facts are stubborn things. Today, we have the first treaty in world history to eliminate an entire class of U.S. and Soviet liberal elites who loudly proclaimed that it's time for a change. Today, I'm proud to say that we have eliminated so many, and George was there. Stubborn things. We are the change. The top 5% of earners have been freed from paying any income tax at all, and millions of earners at the bottom of the scale are paying a higher percentage of the total tax revenue than they ever had before. That was our change. We can be forgiven. I have to confess, I wasn't actually there. And my fellow citizens, the road has been glorious indeed. Eight years ago, we met at a time when America was in economic promise. And today we meet in a time of economic chaos, despair, hopelessness. Facts are stupid, I should say.
There will be no more debates.
Dukakis came out anti-drugs. Oh, way to go, Mikey. Climbing out of that political limb, huh? Can't wait for your next position paper. Cancer is bad. AIDS hurts. I'm not saying Dukakis is boring, but who ever thought we would finally reminisce about the charismatic Mondale campaign? Oh, that firebrand Fritz. Remember he said he was going to raise taxes? I almost wept. It's ironic him going out anti-drugs, because his wife, Kitty, was hooked on speed for 20 years. He never knew. How do you not know your wife's hooked on speed for 20 years? Gosh, she's got so much pep in the morning. Look, it's not even 8 a.m. She's vacuuming the rain gutters. I guess those Flintstone vitamins really work. 10 million strong. Kitty Dukakis. Sounds like something you gotta go to a discredited vet for. Say, you want a Kitty Dukakis, eh? All right, but it's gonna cost ya.
Choice between a grubby and a nerd. When pitted one-on-one, it could get raucous. They both could end up in a tie for third.
I'm Mike Dukakis.
Shotgun, just like Miller Fillmore.
I'll command you.
Hand you lots of Salmonex.
And as I speak,
you'll keep up the peace.
I'm not exciting. There's just no hiding. I might even vote for Bush, but I'm undecided.
I'm not exciting.
of who I am, but who I'm not. I'm not Ed Meese, I'm not Michael Beaver. Not Ali nor Bev Meekum or James Watt. I'm not indicted.
Michael Dukakis came to New York in the final days of the presidential campaign, but his aides say it wasn't really necessary. State Democratic Chairman Lawrence Kerwin says New York is looking stronger and that Dukakis will have no trouble winning in the Empire State. Nevertheless, the Massachusetts governor appeared at a rally yesterday in Forest Hills, Queens, to remind voters that he still has hopes of winning the national race. And the latest nationwide poll released yesterday by CBS shows Dukakis is gaining among voters everywhere. Dukakis is now within 7 points of beating George Bush nationwide. Earlier in the week, a national survey showed Bush with a 12-point lead. With just 4 days before the presidential election, Dukakis is closing in by improving his standing among older Americans and by attracting many voters who were previously undecided. Well, we here at Brain Damage and at the WUSB would like to know how you feel. Who are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote? Give us a call, 632-6901, area code 516. And if you get a busy signal, just try again, because none of our lines are lit up. So give us a call at 632-6901. President Reagan accused Democratic Senator Frank Lautenberg of playing dirty during his brief stop in the state to campaign for Republican Senate candidate Peter Dawkins and Vice President George Bush. The president told an enthusiastic crowd of about 5,000 yesterday that Lautenberg is displaying what he calls a new lack of civility in the race against Dawkins. He called Lautenberg a far-out liberal who has opposed all government efforts to cut spending. In contrast, he says Dawkins in the Senate will work with the next president. I don't understand this sentence. I'll read it the way it's written here. In contrast, he says Dawkins in the Senate will work with the next president's Senate instead of opposing him. I don't know. The president, speaking at the Main Street Mall, was accompanied by Governor Thomas Kane and Dawkins. Both Republican leaders took turns attacking the Democrats and presidential candidate Michael Dukakis. State Democrats, this is in New Jersey, state Democrats say they're confident of a win at the polls Tuesday and are calling supporters in New Jersey to pull out all the stops between now and Election Day. While President Reagan stumped yesterday for Vice President George Bush and Republican Senate candidate Pete Dawkins in Voorhees, the Democratic Party leaders staged a rally of their own and made fun of his visit. New Jersey Democratic Senator Frank Lautenberg, Dawkins' opponent, called Reagan the Republicans' big artillery. He, New Jersey Senator Bill Bradley, and Representative James Florio were among the Democrats touting their message on jobs, Social Security, and the environment before an enthusiastic, largely blue-collar crowd at the Hall of Carpenters Union, Local 393. And Senate President John Russo wants Governor Thomas Kane, again New Jersey. For some reason, our teletype seems to think we're in New Jersey, getting all this New Jersey news, no Long Island news. Senate President John Russo wants Governor Thomas Kane to publicly repudiate a mailer by state Republicans that depicts Willie Horton, the black murderer on Massachusetts furlough who raped a white woman in Maryland. The mailers reportedly sent to about 800,000 households in the state claim Democratic presidential candidate Michael Dukakis is soft on crime. Russo sent GOP Governor Kane a letter criticizing the mailers and saying he is directly responsible for the state Republican committee's actions. Russo called the flyers blatantly racist sewer literature. The Bush campaign officially disavowed the mailers. And that's all the election stuff we have. No phone calls. Incredible. I guess our listeners represent the vast majority of Americans that don't care one way or the other. 632-6901 is our phone number. And it's true. They expect a lower turnout this year at the polls than any year since the 1940s. Incredible. George Bush versus Michael Dukakis, and something on the order of 20% of the Americans eligible to vote will actually make that decision. Well, I certainly know how to get the phone calls lit, don't I? 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
All right.
And who are you going to vote for?
Dukakis.
You're going to vote for Dukakis. Why is that?
Because, for one thing, I'm a woman. And I just want to let you know, I got something from the National Organization for Women, and they were basically pointing out that, you know, a lot of the vote is going to depend on women because there are so many women outnumbering men, you know, that are voting age and everything. But they wanted women to vote late in the election, you know.
I read something about that. Said it was kind of a call to arms for women, vote after 6 p.m. Now, that's to strike back at the networks predicting winners way in advance, but it's also meant to sort of make things slower?
Not necessarily to make them slower, but to show that there are so many women out there.
Uh-huh. And what is the percentage? I believe there's more women voting than men.
I don't know.
Correct?
I don't know about women. I don't know the exact numbers there, but they're all a lot more. I believe it's almost twice as mad as many women.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of a single female that I know that's going to be voting for George Bush. I really can't.
Anyone at all that's voting for George Bush. But then again, I remember in the Reagan election, I don't remember anyone saying they're going to vote for him either.
Uh-huh.
I think it's rigged.
You know, I wonder sometimes, because the people I know and the people I come into contact with, even people I'm not friends with, they all seem... I know Republicans that are scared of George Bush and they're not going to vote for him. So who are all these people that are voting for Bush? They have to be out there somewhere.
I don't know. All I know is you go into a booth, you pull a lever, and you have to wonder.
Yeah, you have to. But if it was rigged, who would be rigging it and how, you know?
Big businesses.
Yeah.
I mean, who's the biggest lobbyist?
Philip Morris, probably.
Yeah. I get stuff in the mail from them all the time because I'm a smoker and I hate it. It's like, don't send me this.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, what do you think is going to happen in the election? Who do you think is going to win?
I'm scared. I'm really scared.
So you think Bush is going to win then?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to keep a little poll here. I'm going to write down who, how many people voted for Dukakis, how many people voted for Bush, and what people think is going to happen. So you think Bush is going to win, but you're voting for Dukakis, correct?
Definitely. I know a lot of other people are voting for Bush. Even my kids voted for Bush in school.
Your kids voted for Bush?
I mean, no, what am I saying? It's for Dukakis.
Oh, okay, because most kids seem to like Dukakis for some reason.
Well, you know, you just mentioned Shoreham to him in the past, and then you mentioned, you know, that, you know, you've heard me sing about what Dukakis is saying about Shoreham, and the first thing you say is, I'm voting for Dukakis.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling. Where are you calling from?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin? Oh,
Wisconsin.
Okay. Almost got me there. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
632-6901, area code 516. And folks, by the way, if you get a busy signal, it doesn't mean our lines are tied up. For some reason that I cannot quite understand, there aren't enough phone lines coming into the university. Apparently, the university doesn't have the money to buy phone lines. And when more than a couple of dozen people use the phone at the same time, everybody trying to call into the university gets a busy signal. I would say call somebody and complain, but you know what's going to happen if you try that. 632-6901. Give us a call and just be persistent till you get through. We do have open lines. Area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hello, and who are you going to vote for?
If I could vote, which I can't.
Well, everyone on this show can vote.
Okay. Well, if I could vote, of course I'd vote for Dukakis.
Okay, and you are a male.
I am a male.
Okay. And let me ask you, as long as I have the old pencil out, who do you think is going to win?
This is kind of hard, because as far as the polls, quote-unquote the polls, say, they say Bush is going to win. However, the Republicans pretty much control the media.
They do?
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans...
How do they control the media?
Well, the FCC...
I mean, I'm the media, they're not controlling me, at least I don't think they are.
They control the mass media, like, the big business.
Okay, NBC, CBS, they control them.
Mm-hmm, more or less.
Okay.
And,
But what about all this liberal press thing we keep hearing about?
I really think that...
If they control the media, how come their Bush has been so hostile towards the media? He hasn't... He's not even president yet, and already he's not having press conferences. You know, you're supposed to be president before you do that.
That's true. Oh, well. Who do I think will win?
Yeah.
Bush.
Okay.
I am hoping with every fiber of my body that Dukakis will win, but... I don't know. I think it's going to be maybe close. If you had a mock election sometime last week, and what happened was it was through the schools. It was actually kids voting in a mock election.
Was this through different schools or just one school?
No, this was throughout the country.
Throughout the country. What happened?
Throughout the 50 states, these were votes from children. Bush won by an overwhelming majority.
Bush won?
Bush won by an overwhelming majority.
That's incredible. Every school kid that's called this program has wanted Dukakis, hands down. That's incredible.
One of the things is that out of the states that Dukakis won, New York was one of them.
Uh-huh.
So
we're not exactly a microcosm of the rest of the country, then.
That's true.
That's kind of scary, you know?
Yeah, it is. And, I don't know, it really ticks me off because I was speaking to someone at work today, and he was like, yeah, well, if we go into a conflict, I don't want that whip Dukakis in office.
Uh-huh.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, to base your entire concept of who should be president on, if we have a conflict, I don't want that whip in office.
I would also like to ask both you and the rest of our listeners a question, if somebody can help me out here. I was trying to figure this out the other day, and I failed miserably. When was the last time in our history that we had more than 8 years of a Republican leader in a row? Can anybody answer that question?
Was Garfield?
Wait a minute. How far back is that?
I don't know. That's pretty far back.
Well, someone could get me an official answer there because, I mean, let's go back at least the last 20 years. You had Nixon in 68, and that led to Nixon in 72, but Carter won in 76. So that's only 8 years of a Republican then. And before Nixon was Johnson and Kennedy, and, you know, it goes back into the 50s, and you had Democrats, and you had Roosevelt.
From what I heard, official statistics, if Bush wins, it'll be the longest administration in office since Roosevelt during the war.
That's something to think about.
Yeah,
that's something to think about. We're going to go to some more calls, but thanks for calling. This call is from on campus. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hi. You're on campus, aren't you?
Yeah.
I can tell. Okay. Who are you going to vote for?
Who am I going to vote for?
Yeah.
Dukakis.
You're going to vote for Dukakis.
Yeah.
And you are a female, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And who do you think is going to win?
Dukakis.
All right. Do you think Dukakis is going to win and you're going to vote for Dukakis?
Yeah.
Great. Now, is there anything you want to say on his behalf or anything you want to say against Bush?
No, not really. I'll just keep it to myself.
Are you a student here?
Yeah, I am.
And do you think Dukakis will benefit college people more than Bush would?
Yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh. What do most of your friends and co-students feel? Are they even going to vote?
Well, see, first of all, I can't vote because I'm not an American citizen, but if I were, I would vote for Dukakis.
Uh-huh.
And all my other friends, they can vote, and I guess they would vote for Dukakis. I don't think they would vote for Bush at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it seems like most college students would probably vote for Dukakis. We do have a young Republican club here on campus, and they're pretty vocal, too. So I'd like to see what a vote on this campus would turn up.
Who is this?
Excuse me?
Who are you?
Who am I? My name's Eric. This is the radio program Brain Damage, and we are on till midnight.
Oh, okay. Hello?
Yeah?
I just called. Is anybody else in the radio station?
Oh, you didn't want to be on the air, did you?
No.
Oh, well, I'll transfer you to our office line.
All right.
And it may ring for a while, but I think somebody will pick up eventually. Here we go.
On air?
Well, you won't be in a minute, but...
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Yes, folks, never call the on-air number when you don't want to be on air, you know, because sometimes you never know what's going to happen. That's why we have an office line, too. Hey, look at that, another office line. Let's see if we can get a bingo on the office line. I'm not going to pick up those ones. My goodness. 632-6901. That's our phone number. That's our on-air number. Area code 516. Who are you going to vote for? George Dukakis? I'm sorry, what am I doing here? George Bush or Michael Dukakis? Maybe we could clone them and you know, get... I'd also like to know what people think of the vice presidential candidates. Now, we haven't heard much about Benson at all, but we've heard a lot about Quayle. And I'd like to know if that influences people's decisions. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I think you got a problem with the people, maybe, okay? I think they're going to vote the way they want to. I don't think that all this media stuff or running it as surveys or anything else is going to be barber. They're going to do what they want to do, and I think it's about time the Americans got on their own wagon and did their own job, that's all.
Uh-huh.
I don't think anybody else in this world is going to change their minds anymore. They got themselves made up, and they're not going to do anything that the media or anybody else tells them to do.
You think there's too much media exposure of all these polls?
All I hear is Bush, 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 Bush. The guy that's against the women, the guy that's against everything else that's good, schooling, buildings, anything in construction, anything else, the farmers, anything. He's against everything. At the same time, the people got to make up their minds, nobody else.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't matter whether I vote for Dukakis or Bush. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in seeing people get out and do the job. That's all.
What do you think it's going to take to get people to vote?
Well, the only thing that can happen is that we should stop all these all this baloney. Let people do their own deciding, you know. You go out and you take a survey on the street corner. Where are you taking the surveys? We don't know. I'm 64 years old and never had anybody ask me yet who I voted for.
Uh-huh.
And it's in that booth, I think people should do what they think is best for themselves. It's baloney, you know.
Now, you've seen a few elections, and this election coming up is going to have the lowest turnout, according to all the
I think that's
experts.
Baloney.
You think that's baloney, too? Well, as far as the number of registered voters, it's lower than it's ever been before. Do you think there's a reason for that?
Well, registering voters, are they can show up. I'm registered. I'm going to show up. I'm sure that there's lots of other people going to show up. It's just we're downgrading this country. And we're downgrading the people. We're telling them how ignorant they are. You know, you're not going to go out and vote. We're making up your mind for you. We're telling you who's going to be here and what. You know, that's baloney.
Uh-huh.
Let's use common sense, you know. They'll get in there, and I don't think you're going to have a short turnout. I think you're going to have a pretty big turnout, from what I can gather. And I think we ought to start thinking about these young people, too. They've got the... And by the way, the President of the United States does what we tell him to do, and if he doesn't, he shouldn't be in office.
So we are the Republic and not the other way around.
That's right. Absolutely.
What you said, there was a great letter in, I have it right with me, in fact, in today's New York Times. I don't know if you get the Times, but it's called Subject of Allegiance. Those who would require, this is concerning George Bush's... big deal about the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't know if you followed that.
Uh-huh.
Those who would require pledges of allegiance by law reveal their ignorance of Republican government. Dictators, kings, and lords require allegiance. Thomas Paine, an architect of American independence, said, when a government requires the support of loyalty, oaths, it is a sign it is not worth supporting. Make government what it should be, and it will support itself, he said. The word allegiance, look it up, comes from the word liege, as in liege lord. It harks back to the feudal system, vassal owing allegiance to lord. But we as free citizens are not vassals of the Republic, nor are we subjects of the Republic. We are the Republic. And that letter was written by Louis Worth Jones of San Mateo, California. And I think that sums up quite a bit right there.
Now you're talking about the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America. The VFW uses it. The American Legion uses it. Well, you mean to tell me they're stupid and this man is smarter than them?
Which man?
Bush.
I think, is that what, do you think that's what he's saying?
He's saying that you don't have to have a law saying you do it, right? That's right, I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
We don't have to have a law to tell us that we have to pledge to we have to have a pledge of allegiance. But there is one thing, let the people know what our country is.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and how it started. And I think that and the Constitution of the United States explain us. And people should read it and understand it. And if we have an educational background, we have a schooling and a rule to do something is to let us know what we've done. Not because of the fact that some man decides, well, we shouldn't do this. Our children don't know what this country is. Ask them.
Whose fault?
They don't even know who's running in this presidential election.
Whose fault is it that Bush
is something out in front of their door?
Now, whose fault is it that they don't know?
Well, that happens to be our educational system, our parents. If they went to a parade, they go to a parade for what reason? Half of the people don't even salute the flag. They don't even think it's honorable for some reason. We have Vietnam vets who have been knocked to death. I mean, Jesus, you know, we have a good country here. We can't let anybody take it over. And we can't have people telling us, hey, man, this guy's going to win whether you like it or not. We got to get out and do it. Put our own man in, whoever he is.
So you think the polls are self-defeating?
I think the polls, so far as I can see, okay, it was a 42-48 problem. It was a 53-51 problem, or whatever the heck the different odds are as they go along. And they're telling us that this is the way the people are voting. And so far, you've been on, now I've listened to you for the last half hour, three quarters of an hour. The women have come on, they're for the caucus. Of course they are. The other guy says, hey, we're not going to put you anywhere. You're going to stay right where you were forever. And I think that's wrong. At the same time, the caucus turns around and says, we are not going to have a death penalty. This story of him not defending his wife, I think that's a lot of baloney. You walk up and push his wife, I bet he push you right down on your backside.
Uh-huh.
You know, any man's going to do it. But he's got to be a politician here. He can't go around and tell you, I'm going to destroy the whole world. And one guy's pushing him to say, go ahead, I'll destroy everybody. That's the way it looks to me. I don't know if you make the same, if you can understand that.
Well, it's just it. We all have different interpretations of the things we see.
Right, and I don't think that the man, he's turning around saying, well, I don't make that decision, you do. But at the same time, you're telling me, if somebody's raping my wife, I'm not going to do nothing about it. Hey, who's that? Who is this guy that's not going to do anything about it?
Right.
Show me one.
Well, is that even a relevant question? I mean, of course, people are going to react when something happens to them personally in ways that they wouldn't react when they're dealing with a third person.
Absolutely, absolutely. But what they're doing is accusing this man of not being able to defend his own self, you know? That's not true. I think he'd fight back just as much as anybody else.
Uh-huh. Well, then you're getting into the real personal things that I don't think would be a part of an election campaign anyway.
Well, but it's being used as a detrimental thing to the man.
Yeah. Oh, sir. I mean, that won't stop them from using it. Of course not.
No, but we shouldn't use things like these because this is not what we're after. If we want the death penalty, we vote for it.
Let me ask you something, sir. Did you watch the debates? I put the debates in quotes. Did you watch them?
Yes, sir. I sure do. And when a man tells me he won't debate anything again, then the man gave up as far as I'm concerned.
Uh-huh. Why do you think George Bush doesn't want to debate?
Why? Well, he might make a mistake. And if he makes a mistake, then Dukakis might win this thing. That's right. That's all.
But couldn't Dukakis make a mistake, too?
Huh?
Isn't he just as capable of making a mistake?
Oh, yes, no, but I'm just saying, yeah, of course. I would say, of course, if you made a mistake, so what? Everybody has it. They put an eraser on a pencil for that reason. But at the same time, you know, he doesn't want to debate. He doesn't want to discuss it anymore. I'm a winner, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the attitude I'm getting, you know. He's fighting. Oh, he's going everywhere, you know. But yeah, I already won. They already told me. Listen to the surveys. They all say the same thing. I'm the winner. I'm the winner. I'm the winner. Why should I even bother?
Do you think if Bush was behind, he'd want a debate?
You bet.
Okay.
You bet, because he won the last one, as far as everybody else is concerned, or as far as the media is concerned and so forth. He was the winner. I don't see where any one of them were winners, really. You know, I mean, I'm telling you very honestly, you know, we could use a lot better politicians up there or a lot better men to give us a better outlook. I don't see anything these guys are really doing. You know, what are they going to do for the people? What are they going to do for themselves? They can't do nothing unless the Congress says so. You know, I mean, they can make a decision when it's presented to them.
Well, that's true, but having Ronald Reagan in the office for the last 8 years definitely has made a difference, whether you see it as good or bad.
Oh, well, now I'll say this, okay? He's our past president. Nixon is our past president. Carter is our past president. Some of them did good, some of them did bad. You know, it just comes along this way. They have to take the side. It's a big decision, regardless of who you are. It's a big decision. And every time you make a decision, it's 50-50. 50% of the people don't like it, and 50% of the people do. Logical?
Quite.
Huh?
Quite logical.
Okay, that's all. That's as simple as that. So, but the thing is not to... All right, let me say it the way I feel. I'm going to tell you how I feel. Either one of these men, from what they have done and the way they have destroyed the presidency of the United States, don't belong there.
Can you...
Yet I have to vote. Regardless, I have to make a decision on which one I want to run, because those are the only two that I have that are that are presented there that are going to be in office. One of them is going to be in office. But what they've done to each other, don't tell me, you know, the last minute I send a telegram and say, I forgot, I'm sorry about everything I said. You've already done the damage.
Yeah. Well, now, can you think of someone other than those two people that you would like to see as president?
Can I think of some of those other two people?
Someone else, if you had a choice.
I would like, okay, to see some man off the street. Just a working man get in there. A man who's been through good and bad. I don't care if he's been in jail, he hasn't been in jail, I'm not interested in that stuff. A man who has a family, who has worked all his life and understands the working people, okay, and still is not prejudiced to people who have what they have. What they have is theirs, you know? I mean, but what we have here today is one man tells you for the people, the other guy doesn't tell you, but he is for the rich. There's no two ways about it. We don't have anybody in the middle. We don't have anybody. What's the senator? Trying to think of the fellow I'm trying to think of. The Irish guy in New York.
Moynihan.
Huh?
Moynihan.
Moynihan. What's wrong with this guy? He's been doing pretty good, too, for the people, you know? I don't know whether he's that wealthy or not, you know, but he's certainly done a nice job.
Is that a prerequisite to be wealthy, to be president?
No. I have no offense to anybody being wealthy, because I think Kennedy was one good guy that did a good job. Roosevelt was another guy that did a good job. Right now, Nixon was doing fine until he got into a scrape with something else, you know. He made a mistake, and we erased him. You know what I mean? Carter made a mistake. You know, I mean, everybody makes them. But it's just the idea that you have to get somebody in there that's in the middle, that knows what's going on.
What mistake did Carter make?
Huh?
What mistake did Carter make, besides losing?
Oh, I believe that your company would kill him what he did to them. Come on, will you? He turned around and put a deal on all the profits they could make, and they just went haywire after him. That man couldn't have gotten to first base after that. Do you remember that?
So he got into a conflict with oil companies.
That's right. Oh, definitely. He put an extra tax on all their profits. And they didn't like it.
Well, I'd say it was a mistake that that he didn't realize the power of oil companies.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now, I'm going to go back about 20 years ago, okay? Somebody said, and this is the way it went, if the churches paid taxes, if the oil companies paid taxes, if your utilities pay taxes, the American people wouldn't have to pay a cent.
And do you believe that?
I certainly do.
Well, it does make sense to me, because...
They invest their money in finding more oil, which, of course, we need, don't get me wrong, but they get tax-free benefits. Now, you invest in something, and you make a profit on it, you got to pay taxes. You don't have a chance. I don't care. Once you made over... Well, let's take the banks, for instance. If you go into, you put your money into a bank, and you make over $400, $401, for instance, you got to pay tax on that.
Okay.
Hey, $399, you don't. What kind of stupid things are they? You know, it don't make no sense.
Statistical things, I know. Well, religion and oil are probably the two biggest profit makers around today.
Yes,
especially
yes,
with
yes,
the mass
yes.
media and everything like that.
And they walk away with every cent with no problem. Mm-hmm. And our problem, as I say, if you get somebody who's gone into a gas station, he has to go into the one that's 2 cents cheaper because he's got to save that 2 cents to pay the taxes he's going to be charged for it. So it don't make no sense, you know?
Okay, well, sir, we have to move on to other phone calls, but...
I know. Okay, fella. Thanks a lot for letting me speak my piece.
I assume you don't want to cast a vote, then.
Oh, I'm casting my vote. Oh, definitely. I don't care. No, sir. No way would I ever miss that.
I mean, for our poll.
For a poll tonight?
Yeah. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, I'm trying to think of who I would like to to cast a vote for. It certainly isn't... I'm leaning toward the caucus because of the women. Okay, so there's my vote.
Okay, and the other half of it is, who do you think is going to win?
I know who's going to win.
Who's that?
The caucus.
Okay.
Okay?
We got you down, then. Thank you very much.
Right.
Bye-bye. 632-6901 so far in our unofficial USB poll, and our error margin is plus or minus 200%, or something along those lines. We have two females voting for Dukakis, two males voting for Dukakis, no females voting for Bush, no males voting for Bush, two people believing Dukakis will win and two people believing Bush will win. Note a difference between believing something and supporting something. So that's the question we're asking you tonight. Give us a call at 632-6901. Also, I still need an answer to that question. When was the last time we had more than 8 years of a Republican in office in this country? I'd like to know that. 632-6901, area code 516. Our phone lines are open. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay.
Listen, I think the big winners in this election are the American public because they're presented with two totally awful candidates. Next time, maybe they won't let either of them pass the primaries.
Well, you see, it's kind of like the Olympics. You know, every 4 years we get to the stage where we say, oh, you know, it sure would be nice if we funded our athletes so that they could compete on a better level. But then 4 years go by and we forget all about it. I think the same thing happens every 4 years with this primary nonsense. You know, it's the same.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's going to come out of it is parties are going to have more specific stances and more specific programs. And when they get into the Senate and the House of Representatives, they're going to have to carry them out.
Uh-huh. Do you have a vote you'd like to cast?
Yeah, I think on a simple matter, economics, it's going to have to be George Bush.
Okay, and do you believe Bush will win?
I hope so, just for the sake of economics.
Okay. All right, and anything else you want to say about either one of the candidates?
Neither is possibly the greatest one we've ever seen.
Uh-huh. How do you think...
It's a sad state, plus... Barbara Bush is not going to look that great.
Barbara Bush is not going to look that great? What do you mean?
The gray hair, she looks very tired.
Well, I haven't...
aged around the eyes. She's not going to be able to keep up that fierce pace of First Lady. So that's going to hurt Bush in the long run.
Uh-huh. Do you mean after the election or during the election?
Oh, after the election. After the election. I mean, she's going to go one round with Reza, and she's going to be outspent, outdressed, and probably outpaced the... dancing in the...
That is a consideration. That's a very good point. Now, folks, think of it. Kitty Dukakis versus Raisa, is that how you pronounce it?
Raisa
Gorbachev.
Now,
I think she's much more of a match for her than Barbara Bush, certainly.
Absolutely, and Kitty knows how to use drugs. I mean, if Kitty needs to stay awake, she can.
That's certainly true, and she's not afraid to play dirty when it comes to
call for it. Well, I think we have to allow a little more dirty playing, On a less severe level. I mean, I'd rather see them playing with drugs than playing with funds going to the Contras.
Sounds good to me. All right, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, have a good night.
You too. 632-6901, area code 516. We're having our informal USB poll. It's an event that occurs, I guess, every 4 years. I don't know if we do this very often. I haven't done it before. So far, the results are for, we have four people for Dukakis, one person for Bush. Two of the four people for Dukakis are females and two are males, and the one person for Bush is a male. And of those people, the ones that believe Dukakis will actually win, only 20% of the people, I'm sorry, 40% of the people think Dukakis will win, 60% believe Bush will win, even though Dukakis got 80% of the vote. That's here at the official, unofficial USB poll, whatever you want to call it. It's what we're doing here. 632-6901, area code 516. Tell us who it is you're voting for. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
That's you, Dick.
Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going okay.
That's good to hear. I think I was going to vote for Bush.
Are you going to vote for Bush?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. And?
You want a reason?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think the major reason this election is going to be economical. I mean, it's the only true thing in the economy right now, I mean, in the country right now, that's really being argued to a full extent between these two candidates. And I think, I think Bush's policies are going to be more beneficial to the country in the long run, as opposed to the caucus.
Uh-huh. Now, do you think that we're in an economic, a bad state economically right now?
No, I don't. I think we're more at a crossroads. The policies in the next administration will make a big difference as to which way the country goes. And I think it's a fine line right now. I mean, given the stock crash last year and inflationary prices and stuff like that, I think this is an important time to make very good policy for the country. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Uh-huh. Now, who do you think is going to win?
I think Bush is going to win. I mean, I've been listening to the show all night, and it's been a split vote between Dukakis and Bush. But you have to realize that this is New York, and this is one of Dukakis' states he's carrying.
That's true. We also get to Connecticut. I don't know who holds Connecticut.
I don't know who's holding Connecticut also, but I think it's in Bush's favor.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
All right.
632-6901. I heard that. I heard that whoever was in that room with that person, you're going to call next. Okay, fine. We're going to have a whole bunch of people. This person is calling from the same room, aren't you?
Yes, this is a Duke fan.
Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Who's this?
It's David Rothenberg.
Okay. Are you calling from the same room that called before?
Yes.
Okay, I knew it. But, okay, you're a Dukakis fan?
Yes.
All right, let me write that down. And who do you believe is actually going to win?
Excuse me?
Well, you said you were for Dukakis,
yes.
But do you really think Dukakis is going to win, or do you think...
He's closing, but it's going to be tough because the American people have bought Bush's campaign. I mean, he's done nothing. He said nothing on TV. He has no issues, pretty much, besides defense and no taxes.
I sense a political argument is going to be festering in your room for a while there.
He's been hiding behind the American flag. I mean, the American people, to take that, I mean, Dukakis, if you know the background of it, is a constitutional, he had no choice. I mean, it would have been shot down. The Supreme Court decided that he couldn't force teachers to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and that, I think that hurt him in the polls, definitely.
Do you think Dukakis is the best choice, though, as far as the Democrats? Could they have picked somebody else that might have a bit more charisma?
The people that were running, well, Sam Nunn wouldn't run, Bradley wouldn't run, and Cuomo wouldn't run. The three choices of leading Democrats would want.
Yeah.
But the man who wanted to do it, I mean, the other three didn't want to throw in the hat, so.
Uh-huh.
I don't see... any of the other Democratic nominees any better.
Finally, what do you think of the vice presidential candidates, Quayle and Benson?
Well, I think Benson, if you watch the debate, definitely wiped out Quayle.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it wasn't even close. And I wouldn't even mind seeing after the debate, I wouldn't mind seeing Benson maybe running against Bush.
Uh-huh.
Because he was definitely superior to Quayle. I'd like to see him against Bush.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine Quayle as president, and that's a very real possibility. In fact, if Bush is elected, if Bush does serve out his term, you can almost guarantee that Quayle would be the Republican nominee for the next go-around. So it's something to think about. We're sort of, by electing either one of these people, we're kind of guaranteeing the next person as the nominee, either Benson or Quayle.
That's true.
So that's something else to consider. It's not just one person we're voting for here. We voted for Bush in 1988 when we voted for Reagan in 1980, pretty much.
So, agree.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
And our phone number is 632-6901, area code 516, and we are taking your vote for George Dukakis or... I did it again, didn't I? George Bush or Michael Dukakis. I wonder if that's some kind of Freudian way of me saying that it's all just a farce and it doesn't mean anything. I don't know. The program is Brain Damage, and we're on the air till midnight. But the election is taking place on Tuesday, and I can't stress enough the importance of voting. I know so many people that that say, oh, it's such a hassle to vote. For one thing, they don't even give you a day off here at school. So that you can, in many cases, students at colleges like the State University at Stony Brook aren't registered to vote in this area because they're not permanent residents. So they have to go all the way home to God knows where, and they have to take a day to do that. But you can't do that if you don't have the day off, right? Makes a lot of sense. And then a lot of other people that live in the area, that are maybe grad students or something, don't bother to register to vote in this area. Instead, they're registered someplace else, and they don't want to lose a day of work or travel. And these are important votes. This is happening at college campuses all over the country. All these votes are not being tallied because people are not taking the initiative. Regardless of how you feel about the importance of one vote, it does wind up making a difference when you start counting all of the people that are doing the same thing. And obviously a lot of people are doing the same thing. When it comes to these polls, you see how quickly the numbers pile up. So, something to consider. Anyway, it's 10 minutes after 11 o'clock. We heard some music and comedy before, and I never did run down the list of what it was we heard. From the top, we heard a guy named Will Durst from a record entitled Strange Bedfellows just came out this year. It was recorded at Stand Up New York on July 11th, 1988. And Will Durst doing a piece there on Bush and Reagan. And we also heard From the Capitol Steps, I Want to Be Like You, Ron. Followed by a local production, Brain Damage Incorporated, with Facts Are Stubborn Things, music by David Gilmour. And Capitol Steps again. I'm Not Indicted, song all about Michael Dukakis. Oh, we also heard Will Durst in there again, talking about Dukakis. In fact, I'd like to hear something else from Will Durst, talking about one of my favorite people. If you listen to this program on a regular basis, you'll know that this is no lie. This is definitely one of my favorite people, namely Tipper Gore. Oh, the name just sends chills in places I didn't think I could have chills. Here's Will Durst.
Senator Albert Gore and his lovely wife, Tipper. Tipper Gore sounds like something you get when you poke a yuppie. Ew, it's like eating her deck shoes. Ew. I'm telling your sweater, step it up. Ew. Tipper Gore, she's the woman behind the Parents Music Resource Center, the Washington-based Stepford Wives group. These people are worried about backward masking on record albums.
Yeah. Not enough things in the world to worry about. We could have a task force dedicated to eradicating dyslexic Satanists.
I worship Lucifer. He's a bum, sir.
999.
Nobody for president, da 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 da. Nobody for president, da 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 da. Nobody will speak the truth. Nobody goes to the root. Nobody can make you feel. Nobody will make you real. Nobody for president, da 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 da. Nobody will house the houseless. Nobody will rouse the rouseless. Nobody turns sword to plowshare. See to it that all get our share. Nobody will not tax you. Get the bosses not to ax you. Nobody will tote your load. Nobody deserves your vote. Winter Green for president. I mean nobody for president. Da-da-da-da-da. Nobody will clean the water. Nobody will fresh the air. Everybody will spend about a quarter to assure the land stays fair. Nobody's so wise of heart. Nobody doth never fart. Nobody was blessed with grace to keep us presents in our place. Nobody plans no disruption on the highway to corruption. And nobody should have the power to destroy us all about half an hour. Nobody for president. Da-da-da-da-da. Every 4 years in this nation, butcher, lawyer, cop, or baker, fools, no matter what their station, get to pick their own dictator. And we all are free to choose him from whatever wing we're free, right or left of the same party, the speech party of property, the Republicrats. Nobody for president. Da-da-da-da-da. Nobody for president. Da-da-da-da-da. No one holds the rod of God over you, you poor dumb side. Chug your beer and sip your thotty. Stumble out. Vote for nobody. Vote early. Vote often. Nobody will tell you straight. When you vote, you abdicate. Find the ways to take your power at home, school, factory. Our power. Tweedledum and Tweedledee, nobody will set you free. Tweedledee and Tweedledum, your own acts, your liberty. Nobody for president. Na-na-na-na-na. Nobody for president. Someday, everybody's going to be president. Hey, I bet we could do it. What do you think? You think it might work out? If you got nothing better to do that day, I mean, some of my best friends vote. And I've even voted on occasion. But you really have to vote without any illusions because this is just one institution. Pulling that little piece of metal doesn't do that much. You got to watch them. No matter who it is, even if it's God herself who's elected, you got to watch her the very next day because they can really screw you. And if you elect too many of the right people, you know, there's always the 89th Airborne. So if I were you, I'd really watch it. And voting is certainly not enough, and it's a big sleight of hand, isn't it?
I like holidays. I like Halloween. It is a good holiday, Martin Luther King Day, because it honors a great man and it annoys racist nitwits. Next year, you can either celebrate Martin Luther King Day or Death to Evan Meekum Day, depending on how you feel. Now that Governor Meekum has been impeached in Arizona and he's free, there's a real air of anticipation out there because everyone feels it's just a matter of time until he gets offered that post with the Reagan administration. God knows after 7 years they've run extremely low on corrupt scumbag weirdos. The current batch can only be asked to serve for so long. You have other things to serve, like prison sentences. So, Ed Meese is finally leaving town, huh? Yeah. Remember the Head Start program? We used to have this thing called the Head Start program in the United States. It's been missing for the past 7 years. I just located it. Turns out it's now part of the Justice Department. The Ed Meese Head Start program. This is how it works. Anytime someone from the Reagan administration comes under a cloud of suspicion, they put Ed Meese in charge of the investigation for the first 2 weeks. This constitutes your Head Start. Plenty of times to dust those fingerprints, you know, empty the huge bank accounts, and shred, shred, shred. Remember a couple of years ago, people were saying, let's repeal the 22nd Amendment so that President Reagan can run for a third term. That talk died down dramatically, didn't it? Yeah, oh, man. Remember his trip to Europe a couple of years ago? He finally shows he has 1 ounce of human compassion. It was for Nazis. Finally, mellowing out, Ron. Now they mention that the Third Reich wasn't such a bad group of Joes. Nice kids, just a little mixed up. That trip to Europe, that whole time, it was like a Bob Uecker commercial. The president's walking around, oh, these Europeans love me. They're going, get out of here, Reagan! Oh,
What president, boy? I don't know. He's his press conferences are great. You ever notice when he doesn't want to answer a question and it has to do with national security? Otherwise, geez, he'd answer it almost right away for you. President Reagan, we have slow motion footage of Meese cheating at checkers. Do you think you can discuss that at this time? Well, at this time, due to lucky special magic reasons, the ongoing nature of the investigation, much as I'd like to answer you in this land of ours with the coasts on each side and the people in the fabric and the flag that I spilled fictional blood in Culver City for, but unless you're in the special code room of the treehouse with the ring, this time I cannot, as much I'm going to have to stammer until somebody asks me an easy one. Yeah. Oh boy. I don't know. Anyway, so he's got us in the Persian Gulf. We're taking on the Iranians. So he wants the fossil fuel because I guess it's a sentimental thing. And but we're taking on the Iranian Navy. They're beefing up. They're getting inboard-outboard stuff. So. We don't stop them here. They're heading right for Cypress Gardens, my friend. Reagan's been so into pulling boats in the harbors. I'm afraid he's going to pull the boats in the harbor in Nicaragua, which would be a big mistake because he mined that 4 years ago, and he's old and he forgets. How many people here thought Grenada was a Ford until a couple of years ago? We had to go in there. We had to get those medical students out of there. Some of them are dangerously close to graduation. We keep hearing about the Contras, the freedom fighters, and they are freedom fighters. Some have been fighting freedom for close to 40 years now. Wherever it rears its ugly head. Contras, yeah. They're big Coke dealers, yeah. And they compare them to our founding fathers. I never read a quote from Thomas Jefferson. Come on in the men's room, I'll tighten you up. I thought I was just supposed to say no to drugs. Unless they're from the Contras, then just say she. Just say no. Just say no. Just say no to slogans. How's that, huh? If it fits on the back of a Volkswagen, it probably isn't going to turn things around. But... How about that guy, Eugene Hassenfuss? They catch him with a plane load of munitions in Nicaragua, and he's a CIA agent. Where was his cyanide capsule, huh? Send over a doggy bag from McFarland's house, anything. They caught this guy, turned into Pavarotti. Ronald Reagan, the CIA, we came from Miami, I made it, we got caught. We were international law, la 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 la. Give me a C chord, la 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 la. Lies of our laws, laws of our lies.
You know, it's kind of like that game show. It's not what you say, but what you don't say.
Tonight is the night. Now you must see me for what I am. Torpedo bomber pilot. CIA. The magic of the machine. Understand my loyalty all these years. Now you must see me for what I am. Two very different men. Tonight is the night. I have many friends to thank tonight.
CIA, 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 CIA.
Tonight is for big things.
It is only the United States that can stand for freedom and democracy around the world.
Talk about Iran-Contra. Talk about a
naive
political tool. And George was there.
Let me tell you something. I know we are the American people. We are running up the debt.
We spend and spend and spend and spend.
I understand it. It comes down to this. You can do anything you want to. We are the envy of the world. We are
naive.
Let me start. I'll be in charge. What? I know what it takes. My ability.
These are the facts.
I made a good selection.
Let me start with
the facts are on our side.
Facts are a stupid thing.
Let me tell you something. It comes down to this. The magic of the machine. Real personal income. Get out of the way of those who created prosperity. You have been able to see Dan Quayle as I really am. The envy of the world.
Now I think we can be forgiven.
This is wrong, that America is better than this. This is not America, that we can do better than this.
Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency? And with these words addressed to Senator Joseph R. McCarthy in the midst of the Army-McCarthy hearings, the lawyer Joseph N. Welch awakened the nation. The date was June 9, 1954. The same question could be addressed to a presidential candidate, George Bush. It would spotlight the level of indecency that has marked the Bush campaign, for which Mr. Bush and his mentor, James Baker, are basically responsible. Never in this century has there been such a campaign of personal vilification at the presidential level. It is all the more sickening because it stems not from a few gutter snipe polls conspiring in a back room, but from the United States' topmost political elite. There have been plenty of campaigns in which facts and positions have been distorted by both sides, but never before this century has one major presidential candidate and his cohorts implied that his principal opponent was somehow un-American, not quite patriotic, sympathetic to a convicted rapist murderer who happens to be black, permissive toward licentiousness and soft on crime. Admittedly, Governor Dukakis was slow in striking back at this campaign of calumny, but it is to his credit that when he finally did so, he never allowed himself or his supporters to sink to comparable depths of distortion. What is really frightening about Mr. Bush's below-the-belt campaign is its apparent acceptance by a sizable proportion of the voting public. Softened up by 8 years of Reagan-Bush dissimulation on everything from supplying arms to the Contras to arms deals for the hostages, from Star Wars to the war on drugs, from human rights to international law, too many bemused voters now seem ready to believe anything. Yet because of President Reagan's domination of the media, he has gotten away with it. The much nastier but equally skillful public relations campaign of candidate Bush is the beneficiary. The sneering attacks by President Reagan and Vice President Bush on liberalism, the philosophy that is the basis of American democracy, set the evil tone of this campaign. It panders to the smoldering instincts of the mob, ready to explode when the next economic crisis bursts upon us. When that time comes, the way will have been paved for a demand for strong leadership. It is a dangerous game. The innate strength of American democracy has up to now resisted it, even in times of crisis. Will it be able to do so next time? Though much of the electorate doesn't want to believe it, next time cannot be too far off. Look at reality. Trillion-dollar debt, multi-billion-dollar deficit, gigantic trade imbalance, lack of both competitiveness and inventiveness on the part of American industry, heedless depletion of basic natural resources, and criminal downgrading of the most basic resource of all, education. inadequate social services, growing poverty, a shaky banking system, a squeezed middle class, increasing disparity between rich and poor. Despite appearances, the American economy is running on empty. When the crisis comes, whether the predictable economic crisis or an unpredictable foreign crisis, more will depend on the character than on the charisma of the president. Michael Dukakis may not have the synthetic charisma of George Bush, but this election should be about character. On this fundamental point, Michael Dukakis wins hands down. That came from today's New York Times on the editorial page, written by John B. Oakes, who is the former editorial page editor of the New York Times.
There's a man to whom the truth remains a stranger, that he may be elected poses a danger. Oh, what an ugly twist of fate to get Bush November 8.
Every year. I don't know why.
Oh, boy, some great candidates have run. They're not around anymore. Jack Kemp. If you give people food stamps, you just trap them into eating every day. Robert Dole, or Dill Dole, as I call him. I don't want to say he has a mean streak, but if he was a dog, you'd have to shoot him.
Pat Robertson made his announcement that he was running in Bedford-Stuyvesant. Who's doing his demographic research for him?
Yeah, Pat, we figured out if you get out of here alive, you should be in good shape. Then he accused Bush of fingering Swaggart. I said, yeah, maybe in private for a donation. Cheapest joke in my act. Lay off. Gore had a lot of fun down here, huh? I think he carried it a little too far when he was circumcised on the 6 o'clock news. Jesse did a great job. Really baffled the pundits, though, didn't he? He really upset them. They couldn't figure him out all the time. The whole time he was doing well, they just keep saying, well, Jackson continues to do well, and that's going to hurt the Democrats down the line because, you know, Jesse's very liberal. He's extremely liberal. Now, that'll hurt the Democrats all because he's liberal. He's so liberal, and after Atlanta, his liberalness, that'll hurt him.
Jeez, I didn't know liberal meant black. Take off his shirt. Jesus, he's liberal, huh? He's liberal from head to toe. And they're all trying to figure out what Jesse wants. What does Jesse want? What does he want? What do you suppose Jesse wants? Well, geez, what's he been doing? Well, he went to 50 states. Get this. He shook 50 zillion hands. Okay. He gave 8,000 stump speeches. And he participated in 62 debates. What do you suppose he wants? I don't know. Maybe the nomination? No, he's too liberal. I would have liked to see...
Let's hear it for nobody. Nobody for president. Come on, let me hear you.
As nobody's been with us a long time. As I explained to the Native Americans, I empathize with their cause, but nobody was here first. In fact, I know nobody keeps all campaign promises. In fact, I even know nobody is in Washington right now working for me. I firmly believe that nobody should have that much power. I want nobody to run my life. Nobody bakes apple pie better than Mom. And, you know, I mean, you can just go on and on endlessly for nobody, which we did. We would have these tremendous rallies with a lot of rock and roll. In the middle of the rock and roll, suddenly people say, well, the nobody motorcade has just been spotted and nobody's headed this way. And everybody goes, oh, wah, wah. And then nobody pulls up in the back of an open convertible. And then nobody speaks, and we use these little wind-up clicking plastic teeth as a representative for nobody. And it's always wonderful to see all the TV cameras pushing each other to get better shots of these clicking teeth. My favorite nobody story took place in 1976 in Kansas City, Kansas, the scene of the Republican National Convention. My friend John Bryant was there. He gave me a laminated press pass because he had to go somewhere far away. So I slipped off my clown gear, put on a three-piece suit, which I usually reserve only for Halloween. And slipped into the World Press booth and started typing up press releases for nobody. And giving them to the World Press, because they're right there. Oh, thanks, I'll take that. So I'm spotted by this plainclothes Kansas City cop who calls the FBI and the Secret Service. They circumnavigate my clown ass, thrust me into a Lenny Bruce curtain call, and start patting me down, feeling this bulge in my pocket. FBI agent says, "Is that a gun?" They whip it out as the plastic teeth start clicking in his hand. I said, "Quiet, our leader is speaking." He gives me back the teeth. He says, "Get out of here. You're too weird to arrest."
Our telephone number is 632-6901, and we'd like to know who you're going to vote for, or if you're going to vote. Give us a call at 516-632-6901, and we'll be going to the calls right after this.
The president doesn't remember whether or not he sold guns to Iran. How can you not remember selling guns to people that hate us? You know what I'm saying? Okay, in the future, right, Mr. President, or Mr. Dukakis, or Mr. Bush, whoever is president of the United States, if you ever sell guns to people that call us the great Satan, jot it down. Make a little note. Put it on the refrigerator. It appears that yesterday I sold guns to Iran. What a bizarre year in politics. You know what I wish? I wish the media would stop telling me that Jesse Jackson is black. I know that. Oh, is Jackson the black guy? I thought Dukakis was the black guy. All this time I've been saying a black Greek. What a novel idea. It's about time. He should get elected just on originality. It's been such a strange, strange year. Gary Hart, he cheated on his wife. Well, then he can't be the president. Not in this moral land. Give me a break, will you? All of a sudden, everybody's from Bethlehem. Joe Biden, he plagiarized a speech. Well, then he can't be the president. Not in the land of original thought. That guy Ginsburg, this is the guy that smoked a joint in 1962. Who the hell are you to make a decision? But Oliver North sits in front of the whole world and they ask him questions. Mr. North, you lied to the Iranians, did you not? Yes, I did. Well, you lied to General Secord, did you not? Yes, I did. Well, you lied to the Congress of the United States of America. Is that true? Yes, it is. I lied, lied, lied. Are you lying to this committee? No way. This lieutenant colonel does not lie. And everybody in this country goes, you should run for office. Unbelievable. The best thing I can see that's come out of this whole Iran-Contra affair, at least now most Americans have some idea as to where Central America actually is. I mean, let's face it, folks. Up until about a year ago, you said Central America. 80% of the American people thought you meant the Midwest. Leave the people from Idaho alone. They make all of our potatoes.
Oh, we should leave the people from Idaho alone. I've always said that. That was a man called... Let's see if I get all these comedians right here. That was Jimmy Tingle. That is his real name, Jimmy Tingle. With a bit on the election. We've also heard from Thule Kupferberg doing the musical version of Nobody for President. Bushmaster Quail and the Shadows, The Magic of the Machine. We heard CIA Agent Man from Wally and the Bushmakers. Wavy Gravy doing the original Nobody for President, the spoken word version. And we also heard comedians Will Durst and Barry Crimmins, all from the album Strange Bedfellows, Comedy and Politics. And, of course, the article from today's New York Times, John B. Oakes, the former editorial page editor, saying some pretty scary things there. Our phone number is 632-6901. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment. The 1988 presidential campaign has a familiar look as it nears an end, with George Bush leading in the polls. Michael Dukakis trails Bush by 9 percentage points in the latest poll from CBS News and the New York Times, and by 6 points in the newest Lewis Harris poll. Fascinating. For close to a month, Bush has led by at least a half dozen points, and he's been ahead in nearly every survey since accepting the Republican nomination in August. That was on the office line, right? Our phone number is 632-6901, and our lines are open. And we'll be back in just a moment while we try to make an adjustment here. Hold on. Our phone number is 632-6901. We're experiencing a bit of fun here, as we usually do. Tell us who you're going to vote for. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
7416604.
What in the world? That's not even a candidate. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Couple things.
Yeah.
First of all, you wanted to know when the last time the Republicans held for more than 8 years?
Yes. Can you actually tell me this?
Yes, I can. That was in from 1921 through 1932.
Okay.
Warren Harding, Calvin Coolidge, and Herbert Hoover.
1921 to 1932.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And not since then. And that, of course, if Bush gets elected now, we will have not done that since... Oh, wow. That's so long ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but by the same token... the only time the Democrats were able to hold it was from Roosevelt through Truman.
Uh-huh.
And it was a pretty long period of time, but it was only two people.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, do you have a vote?
I will be voting for George Bush.
Okay. And do you believe George Bush will win?
Yeah. I think he's got a good handle on a good strategy towards playing the right states.
Okay.
Have a pretty wide margin of victory. The electoral votes.
All right. Well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay. Thank you.
632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Good evening. Hello. Oh, that's a shame. That's a real shame. A waste of a phone call there. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, hi, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, before you were wondering what was wrong with Jimmy Carter.
I asked what mistake he made.
Oh, he made a lot of mistakes.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. The first one was, you'll probably remember this, a lot of people do. When he said that we're going to have to we're going to have to live with not being a first-rate country anymore.
Uh-huh.
And that we're going to have to be a third-rate country and accept it. I'm saying that.
Uh-huh. Hold on one moment. Sorry about the delay there. We're just having a bit of technical problems, but they're all fixed now. Is our caller still there?
Yes. Yeah, I can see the little color bars going across the radio.
Yeah, sorry about that. We had to put up a test pattern. Now, you were saying about Carter's mistakes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, do you remember him saying that?
No, not specifically.
All right, well, he did say that, and that was the first time in American history that an American president has given up on something and publicly announced, I mean, given up on something major like that. That's a pretty major thing to give up on.
Uh-huh.
If you think about it, saying we're going to have to live with being third rate from now on.
That, well, yeah, I could see how that could strike people the wrong way. Do you think maybe he meant it in a different way?
Well, not really. He said that pretty much in that speech that everybody else is better than us and we're going to have to learn how to live with it.
I don't think he said that, did he? I don't see how he could say that and live to the next day in this country.
Well, he did say that, and He made so many mistakes.
Well, I don't want to be thought of as somebody who's standing up for Jimmy Carter, because I know when he was president and I was around, I wasn't really, you know, all that happy. So there's a lot that certainly needed improving. But I just don't think he can be compared to Nixon or Reagan as far as corruption and evil things, you know?
With Nixon, with Watergate, it wasn't then. It was such actually really a bad thing, since Nixon didn't really control it. It was the CIA that actually did that at the time, and he didn't know about it. It was at the time, you know, Mission Impossible was the popular TV show, and that was, you know, like the TV show that was like one of the highest rated TV shows, and people wanted to see something like that.
Uh-huh.
It was exciting to see, oh wow, just like TV, but only in real life too.
Yeah. Well, now we do want to take the poll here, so tell me, who are you voting for?
George Bush.
You are voting for George Bush, and do you believe George Bush will win?
Yes.
Okay.
And also what Carter did was, a lot of people said his economics are just starting to show up now. That's why the economy turned around, which isn't really true, because he wasn't very, very swift. Because remember when he sold his peanut farm because there was a peanut glut one year?
Yeah.
And he sold it, and the next year there was kind of a peanut famine.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that he just gave up on. Right there. For one year, it was doing bad, so hey, just trash it. You know, who needs it?
Interesting. Interesting analogy.
It seems like...
But do you see that in Dukakis?
Yes, because in the Democratic National Convention, they brought out Carter. They pushed him out there, and they painted him like a hero. And Dukakis was supporting him. He was saying, yeah, I want to be just like good old boy Jimmy, pretty much. And which is just giving up, pretty much.
Okay. All right, well, thanks very much for calling. 632-6901. That's area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric. It's Bill.
It's Bill. How you doing, Bill?
Bad, Eric. You?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. I've done better, but I've done worse, too. And I'll probably do both of each, you know? Now, who are you voting for, Bill?
I'm voting for Dukakis.
Dukakis. Okay, and you are male. I'm just writing that down. So far, we have 6 votes for Dukakis, 4 votes for Bush. And of those, we've only had 2 female calls, and both of those 2 females were for Dukakis. Males are split evenly, and who do you believe will win?
I don't know. Again, I have some feelings about this, but, you know, you can't go on intuition, and the data are just, the error for the data currently are not reliable, so it's up in the air, Eric.
Well, who do you think? Give me your gut feeling.
I don't think right now.
You don't have a gut feeling?
I think that, hold on. Mark, it's got your key.
It's got your key, Mark.
Oh, he's not going anywhere yet.
Oh, Mark, you're not going nowhere. Okay, well, you don't have a gut feeling? You don't have a wild guess?
No, you know I don't operate that way generally.
Well, it's going to mess up our survey because we won't have the same number of people guessing as we do voting, but I guess that's okay. We can handle it.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, well, I learned about that statistic, so like Monday, bring it in and we'll work on it.
Uh-huh, okay. Thanks for calling, Bill.
By that time, anyway, I wanted to, you got other calls, right?
We got a bunch of other calls.
Oh, okay, so I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello. This is Stokes.
Hello.
Yes. I just want the listeners out there to be aware of the fact that we're starting up the Ron Dudek fan club again.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. The late night legend, Ron
Dudek. Can I just ask you
what... Anybody wishing to join,
It's free.
Can I just ask you one question?
Yeah.
Very simple question.
Yeah.
Why?
Because Ron Dudek is a great American, and he's a radio legend.
I thought he was Canadian.
Ron Dudek?
I thought he was Canadian. That's the word on the street.
God, who started this?
I don't know who started it. I assume his mother did. But I've heard from reliable sources, and believe me, they're very reliable sources on the streets
Chris
around
Crowley.
Here. No. Chris Crowley knows nothing of this. He is Canadian. No, look, there's nothing wrong with being Canadian. I mean, you know, the whole SCTV crowd is Canadian. Lots of good things are Canadian.
Yeah.
Canadian bacon, you know, there's all kinds of good things. So don't put the guy down just because he's not American.
I love Ron Dudek.
Oh, I'll even join the club. But,
okay, here's the address. 177 Stage Street, Bridgeport, Connecticut, 06604.
Okay.
And you know, anybody that includes their return address, you know, we'll send them back a stamp, you know.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Wait, are you still there?
Yeah.
Who are you going to vote for? Assuming you could vote, that is.
I could vote. I'd probably vote for Ron Dudek.
Now, look, we only have two people running here. We have Mike Dukakis and George Bush. I mean, you can vote for this Dudek person if you want to, I guess, technically, but...
Yeah, Ron Dudek. Yeah.
All right, Ron Dudek. Got it. And who do you think is going to win the election?
Bush.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Well, I guess that sort of evens things out then on our survey, because now we have an extra guess without a real vote. So, Ron Dudek. Yeah, okay. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Dukakis.
You're voting for Dukakis?
Definitely.
And who do you believe will win?
Bush.
You think Bush will win?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Reagan's legacy, he wants to... He's like, they figure if they vote for Bush, they'll keep Reagan in office.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I disagree with a lot of what has been said about, I don't know, the... There's a few people that voted for Bush. I always argue the point of, you know, he was pointing, one of your listeners was pointing out all the bad things about Carter. That, you know, Carter's not in this race. It's Dukakis, different man. And I think he got a few of his facts, mumble-jumbled. But anyway, it's just, I mean, look at Bush, ex-CIA director, you know.
I can just jump in here. I just want to say that in itself is enough to make me really nervous. Ex-CIA director running the country, you know, it just, I don't know, there's something about that that just gives me the woolies, you know?
I was there for Philip McGee at the Fine Arts Center.
Uh-huh.
And he talked about Bush a lot and about CIA. And I don't know, you know, we're putting a psychopath in office, and I have a very good gut feeling.
Well, you know, I thought if we're putting a psychopath in office, it would be pretty easy to get him out. But if we're putting somebody who knows exactly what he's doing and has the means to do it, that's when I get scared, you know?
Yeah. No, he does. He has the mind to do what he wants.
It's one thing to differ with somebody, just like we called the Ayatollah crazy, but he's not crazy, and neither is George Bush. They're just scary individuals.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
I don't mean to call him a psychopath, but I just... You know, that's
it's a gut reaction. I know what you mean. So, okay, we have you down for Dukakis, and you believe Bush will win.
That's a shame. I hate to say that, but I have a gut feeling he will.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello.
Hello.
I called before, but I just wanted to let you know.
Okay.
It's like a brainstorm.
What's that?
You guys want to, you know, impose a death penalty on drug... dealers.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they should give them what they want.
Give them what they want?
Yeah, who's the one that was dealing on the drugs? These guys that were trying to vote into office again?
Apparently it's a popular thing.
Doing drugs? I know people got arrested, you know, for doing that. In the meantime, these guys are going to get off.
It's quite possible. I mean, things just fade away. Who would ever have thought after the Iran-Contra mess that the Republicans would even stand a chance?
Yeah,
I don't know
really
how they pulled out of that.
Really, when you think about it, you know, I mean, all they got to do is bring the drugs here, sell it to other little people, arrest them, kill them, and they've made their money.
Well, that's a great way of looking at things. But as I recall, you were for Dukakis, but did you believe Bush was going to win?
Yeah, like the guy said before, I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going to be back again next week. And next week, folks, don't listen to any other radio program till then. We're going to give you the results next week. All right? So just go to sleep for a week and come back. Well, go out and vote, but don't listen to the results. Come back here, and we'll have the exclusive results next Saturday. How does that sound?
Great.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Program's Brain Damage, and we're just about out of here. But we'll be back again next week at 10 o'clock, and we'll be on until midnight. So see you next week. Stay tuned for The Brothers and Lobotomy on WUSB Stony Brook.
The lunatic is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games, daisy chains, locks. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their bonnet faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. All that you see, all that